I've got three scriptures that I'd like to read tonight, and they're all very short. And the first one that I'd like to read is in the book of Romans, chapter 3. And if you've got a Bible that's like mine, you'll find it on page 1351. The book of Romans and chapter 3. And I'm just going to read one verse, which is verse number 23. And it says this: "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The next scripture that I'd like to read is in John's first epistle. Now, don't get confused with it being John's gospel. It's John's first epistle. It's right at the back of the Bible, and it's on page 1478. John's first epistle, and I want to read from chapter 1. First epistle of John, chapter 1, and verse 7. And I'm even going to start halfway through the verse, where it says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son," that is God's Son, "cleanses us from all sin." And the last scripture that I want to read is in the Old Testament, which is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, page 895. Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to start from verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat." And in verse 6, "Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." I've read these verses because I thought they tell us in themselves what the gospel is. We're all sinners. There's a Saviour who's able to meet our sins through the shedding of his precious blood. And there's a word in Isaiah which says, to make it your own, you've got to come to Christ and trust in him as your Saviour. Now, you may have heard words like this from behind the desk many times if you've been to this room. I can't remember seeing all of you here, but I can remember seeing some of you when I preached last time. And the tendency is, you know, that we hear the gospel and we sort of, blank it out. It's, often think of it, you know, it's like the sounds that we hear around us, that day by day we hear them, like the train passing by or the noise of cars in the street, and we hear it, but, you know, it doesn't really register because it doesn't really matter. And because we've got other things that we're interested in, we just blank it out. And those things are there, but they don't matter to us, so we ignore them. And, you know, that's really the message that I want to give in the gospel tonight. You may have heard the gospel message before. You may have heard it in this room before. But what I want to say to you is, whatever you do, don't blank it out. Because you've got to make it your own. A day is coming, you know, when every one of us in this room, and every man, woman, and child is going to stand before a holy and a righteous God. And I can't tell you when that day will be, because I don't know, and the Bible doesn't tell me. But what it does tell me is that it's going to happen. If you can judge from what the Bible tells you as to things that are happening in the world at the present time, it looks as though it won't be very long before each one of us will be called to stand before God. And when we are, what are we going to say before a God who is absolutely righteous? He's done everything perfectly. He has, it says, purer eye than to behold iniquity. And no one who is still in their sins in that day will be allowed into heaven. It'll be a day when your fate will be determined. Because there will be no opportunity for you to change your mind. And that's why the gospel's preached. Because you can't wait till then before you decide for Christ. Before you decide whether you are going to accept God's offer of salvation. And you think of the awfulness of standing before a holy God in that day. And he says to you, how come you're here? On what grounds are you here? What right do you have to be here in my presence? And what would you say? I've done a few things right in my life. How much would that count for? I've come to a few meetings in the hall in, is it Basildon we're in? What would that count? What would God say to you? And what will you say to him? Dear friend, the fact is that when each one of us stands before God, and we will, we're those who at some time have been still in our sins. And that's what this scripture starts with. It says, for all have sinned. Four words. If you remember nothing else that might touch your conscience from what I say tonight, remember these four words from the Bible. All have sinned. And there are no exclusion clauses in there. That's what often happens, isn't it? That people look for an excuse as to why they can exclude themselves. But there's no excuses that are going to stand before God in that day when you have to do with him. All have sinned. And what have you done about it? Friend, I turn to my second scripture because what I want to tell you now is what God has done about it. I love these words. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. All have sinned. Every sin can be removed for everyone. Again, there's no exclusions here. The blood of Christ can wash your sins away. God had to have a righteous basis on which he could forgive sins because he is a righteous God. And the only way your sins could be washed away was that someone who was absolutely perfect should be slain in your place, because, you know, the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty that lies upon you and me. And the witness of it is all around us, that every one of us one day has to die. The scripture tells us why. It's the penalty for sin. What I have to tell you in the gospel is the most wonderful news, that God has himself provided a saviour to die in your stead, so that you don't die for your sins, because you couldn't. But Jesus, God's beloved Son, God has sent him, and he has come and become a man here upon earth. And for 33 years, he lived a life of absolute perfection until he came to the cross. And there he was crucified. And there he gave his life for sinners like you and me. And God has accepted that sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Friend, that's what God has done. The wonder of the work of Jesus will take eternity to tell. I can only tell you that it means so much to me that I have found a Saviour who has given me hope and peace with God. And I know that when I stand before Him in that day, it'll not be that I've been to so many meetings and that I've done a few things right in my life that will stand me in good stead before a righteous God. But I shall proclaim the precious blood of Jesus that has been shed for me. And because that blood's been shed for me, I've got peace with God. And I stand before God as a God of love. A God who knows me. A God who has said to me, I know your name. And there's a place prepared for you in heaven. And that's the truth that the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus told his disciples, you know, when he was here. You can look it up in John 14. He said to them when he was talking to them, and their hearts were troubled and they were worried because they could see that things were going to change differently from the way they expected them to. And they were anxious. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I go to prepare you a place. And just to confirm it to them, he says, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. Friend, he's gone to prepare a place for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has been shed, and that's established a basis upon which God can forgive your sins. And you can have peace with God and the assurance that when you meet him in a day to come, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed your sins. What can you? Just a minute. This is what God has done for sinners who are far from him. Have you made it your own? Somebody in the epistle, in the Acts of the Apostles, asked a question. And the question was this: what must I do to be saved? That is, that it's not just automatic. God has done his part. He's given his Son, he's established a basis upon which salvation can be offered, a basis upon which the gospel can be preached. But what have you done about it? You've been to the gospel. You've heard it. Have you blanked it out? What have you done with it? Just put it in your pocket? Have you taken it on board that you're a sinner? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Yes, that includes me and you. Have you taken on board that Jesus Christ has shed his precious blood to save you from your sins? Have you got that in your heart? Friend, God in the gospel is appealing to whosoever will to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. And these are realities. They're not things that just last for half an hour in a gospel preaching. These are realities. The day is coming when the things of this world are going to pass away forever. That's what the Bible tells us. But your soul is never dying. And in the day to come, you must have to do with God. When we come to Isaiah, the gospel invitation is given. Everyone that thirsteth, come. Have you come to Christ and accepted him as your own personal Saviour? Acknowledging your sins, saying you're sorry for them, before a holy God. Because if you have, and you're sincere, if you mean what you say, then God tonight is able and willing to forgive you your sins. And moreover, he says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Isn't that good news? It doesn't matter how much you've got in your pocket. That's not what the gospel salvation depends upon. Gospel message is proclaimed full and free for your acceptance tonight. And there's a hymn that says, all the fitness that he requireth is to feel your need of him. Now, friend, that's the crux of it. Do you feel your need of a Saviour? Do you realise that your sins are barring you from an eternity in heaven? And, more seriously still, consigning you to an eternity in hell. How solemn the gospel is. These are things that affect each one of us. And tonight the gospel is preached because tonight you can find a Saviour God. That's what the scripture says. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. That's today. That's tonight. You can find him. You say, look, I'm not ready yet to make this decision. I'm going to put the gospel in my pocket and I'm going to think about it. I'm going to weigh it over. And then something happens and you never have another opportunity. What are you going to say to God when you have to deal with him in a day to come? Isaiah says, seek ye Jehovah, or seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Why not make it the day of yours? And all those doubts about the future, all those concerns that you've sort of dismissed, that you've blanked out, put them to rest forever. And know on the basis of God's word that you've accepted the gospel, you've accepted the Saviour, and you know what it is to be saved. Your sins washed away in his precious blood. Seek ye him while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Tonight he is. The fact that you're here in the gospel hall tonight, the Lord is near and appealing to your heart to accept him as your own personal Saviour. Because when the time comes and you stand before God, there will not be one thing you can say or one thing you can do. There will not be one plea that you have that will stand before a righteous God. Except this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. And if you can say that from your heart and know that you've accepted Jesus as your own personal Saviour, you can have a hope and a joy that no one can ever take away from you. And whether your life is short or whether your life is long, at the end of it, you'll know that through that precious blood, you've reserved a home in heaven, and it's yours, and it's yours forever. Why not come to Christ tonight? These are serious matters. There's a hymn that says, we don't know whether tomorrow may dawn on you or me. Why Will you risk the peril of a lost eternity when you can have to do with Christ tonight? I hope you'll come and trust him before it's too late, because mercy's door is open to you right now, and you can have peace with God. I hope you'll come, and may the Lord bless you.